a job on the technicality of a legend who recommended you. You are nothing, you are a fool, and you are a waste of time. Good night.
I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that.
I don't believe personal insults help it.
Now, Jack Charlton is quite right to be indignant about that, and the gentleman in the yellow hat really exists nowhere in the firmament of international football.
The 10-man board of the FAI, the clowns, are now going to put the names in a hat. They're going to pick people who they've read about in newspapers.
Give it a blam and flash it into the net. What a goal that was.
And of course, Celtic.
I agree with you.
Ronnie just wants to say the word Schweinsteiger.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Hello, welcome to the Balls Daily Football Show in the middle of a massive international break. I don't know why they call it an international break, because what is it a break from, lads? Because for one, I'm not feeling refreshed in the middle of this break. My name is Mark Farley. The lads I refer to are Sean Meehan and Gary Connaughton. They join me in studio now. Lads, what's the crack?
Mark, how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah. I'm all right. I'm stressed out.
I'm so am I.
Likewise. Likewise.
This is make or break stuff for us right now.
Yeah. But I kind of like the freedom of it.
I like closure.
Yeah,
it's the same with the Rugby World Cup. I thought at the weekend when someone says something, it would be over after madness after we lose to New Zealand. Now, look, we all hope we beat New Zealand, but at the same time, there's a part of me when I was thinking about losing to New Zealand. I was like, Jesus, yeah, it will have all finished. This marathon of
for Ireland
we could have nothing in the world of international football or rugby to look forward to for a long time. After this weekend,
I think,
or hopefully, we have something to look forward to.
not to get drawn into the politics now, the politics of time, and time is a construct. But I find the Rugby World Cup is kind of passing me by. If it was on at a regular time, and obviously, listen, Japan aren't going to conform to Greenwich Mean Time, British Summer Time, for the sake of the ease of for me,
especially when it changes to winter time in the middle of it.
Exactly. So I'm that's why it's passing me by. Like, I've been awake for maybe one Ireland match.
The office for most of them.
I've been in the point stands.
I was in for the Samoa match, but I watched that one. That was good. Yeah. I missed the Japan one. My dad ran in when it was full time to my room. Joyous.
Joyous. Is he Japanese?
No, he just hates rugby.
Well, if you want to listen to some people who actually like rugby talk about rugby, be sure to subscribe to the Balls.ie podcast channel, because we have got plenty of rugby coverage as well as our football coverage throughout the week. Gary, I don't know where to start with Ireland. In terms of back to football now. I don't know how we've ended up in a rugby conversation. But maybe we'll start with the under-21 game, because you were at that last week. A nil-all draw with Italy, but it was a good nil-all draw as opposed to the bad nil-all draw we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, start with a bit of positivity and we'll go all downhill from here.
Start with a bit of positivity, a good positive nil-all draw.
Yeah, there's a way to draw a nil-all, Mark, and I think this was it as opposed to what we saw in the other game. But Ireland were good again, under-21s, you know, we're all big fans of them here in this office, and the whole country seems to have taken them into their hearts now at this stage. But against a good Italy team as well, which had £60 million worth of striker on the bench that didn't even start in Moise Kean and Patrick Cutrone. So
with this fella throwing out pronunciations
the
like
correct
the
correct pronunciation.
Moise Keane, you mean?
Moise. Give it Moise Keane.
Yeah, look, it was a great, it was a good performance, and Ireland were the better team for the vast majority of that game as well, so it was really encouraging. Played all of that attacking football that we love to see, and there's some great players in that team.
I still see, and I don't know why, I think it's because we're Ireland, I still see people go, well, like, what are you doing, like, preaching for Stephen Kenny to come in for the Denmark match and take over and drag Ireland to the Euros? Like, because he's a good manager. He just instills positivity, like, and it's not to say that Mick McCarthy's a bad manager, but, like, even, like, he was disappointed with a nil-all against Italy. Mick McCarthy was happy with a nil-all against Georgia. That's just a different... They're different breeds of football manager. And I think it's everything to do with that under-21s team. You've got, you know, a manager bringing fresh ideas. You've got great young players. Like Connor Coventry, I would have said before that match, you know, is the maybe third or fourth best centre mid that we have in that under-21s team, even if you're including the likes of, say, Luke O'Connell coming in, and he was excellent. Like,
yeah.
Like, there was 7 and 8 out of 10s throughout the team.
That's the thing with that under-21 team. Like, you always talk about the star names. Your Troy Parrott and your Jason Malumbies, and then you're like Michael Obafemi coming in. But every time you watch them, there always seems to be another one or two lads. You come away thinking, Jesus, he's a great player. Like, I know Adam Ida was talked about a lot, obviously, before that, but I thought he was immense against Italy. Like, he was the combination of pace and power and size for an 18-year-old is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Definitely not playing for Ireland.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And then you go, Jesus, oh, like, have we got anybody else that can do that? Yeah. Jonathan Afolavi is basically that as well. Like, he's a bit of a different player, but he has all that pace, all that power, and is huge for a 19-year-old. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so positive. Like, it's just great.
Leo O'Connor was great again, playing right back.
So, with all that positivity in mind, I'm going to give you, I was going to initially say 30 seconds, but no, 10 seconds each, just to get Ireland Georgia off your chest. And that's it. We close the book on it, because all that has to be said, I think, has been said. All that needs to be, what could you say? I'm going to give you 10 seconds each. Sean, we'll start with you.
Give him 20.
3, 2, 1. It's a good start. Got 2 seconds left. Anything else you'd like to say? Well done. Time's up. Gary, 10 seconds. Start at 3,
I've never done anything
2,
in 10 seconds.
1.
Yeah, it wasn't great, was it? Like, I don't know. What can you say? I'm put under severe pressure by this time constraint, but we played very badly. And yeah, that's it, really.
Okay, Mark. 3, 2, 1.
Life, what is it? What's the point of it all? Maybe the sport is just silly. And maybe we should all do something else with our lives. Like watch under-21.
Oh.
No. Here we go.
No. Yeah, you would have liked 20 seconds there, wouldn't you?
We're going to have to keep bloody watching football, because I run out of time before I come up with something
else
to do.
We don't know what else to
my
watch.
My only other suggestion for as well about not having football in our lives is to watch under-21 football. That's
to watch some form of junior football with all professional footballers, like, still. Look, it's just when you compare them to the under-21 team.
Gary, you had 10 seconds and the time is up.
How are we going to fill the rest of this podcast if we're not allowed to talk about the Ireland team?
Moving on. We're talking about the Ireland team. We're just not talking about the Georgia game. Moving on to Ireland and Switzerland.
It's all the one big kind of...
Fill us in. What do we have to do now to qualify?
Right.
First of all, I believe... I understand. I'm going to do an Eamon Dunphy podcast, one of this, where I'm going to make a statement and then just finish it with, I believe, and then leave dead silence and you have to explain it to me. So, we can qualify through the playoffs, I believe. Is that true?
I suppose it is true, yeah, we can.
And we can get a playoff by just continuing to exist as a UEFA team, by the sounds of it.
Basically, if we were to talk about the playoffs, our finishing position in this group, or our performance in this group, has absolutely nothing to do with the playoffs, which is a completely alien and ridiculous concept, but that's the way it is. We could finish bottom of this group and still get into the playoffs.
This sounds, not to bring it back to Rugby World Cup, but that sounds exactly like something rugby would do. Oh yeah, you're qualified. By virtue of what you did 4 years ago, congratulations.
Pretty much. But look, we're not going to. I don't really want to get into them playoffs, because, well, let's just cross that bridge when we come to it, because they're so complicated and there's so many different things, and they're not on until next March as well, which there's ages
away.
It's
just a weird thing that I think, I don't know if a lot of the country knows this. There's, I don't know, whatever it is that,
it's,
I suppose, these, because
it's
we're
the
going
Nations
well,
League.
Yep. We know that, but as in that every other qualifying campaign, especially prior to Euro 2016, where there's this mad push to get into the top two, and that was always not to qualify, but just to, like, either obviously automatically qualify or get to a playoff. Last time there was like, Jesus, we could still get in the third place, we could get that playoff. Whereas now there's no real talk of playoffs. I think a lot of people are under the pressure that if you don't finish in the top two, we're out, which we're not.
But like, that's the whole point of these next two games, specifically Switzerland, because it's the one that's on tomorrow, but like, these are free goals. Just have a whack off them.
Yeah, let's talk about them ones. Let's not talk about playoffs.
Like, I'm not thinking March in terms of, well, sure, if we win one of these, all we need is one. One win. it's a tough ask because not only are we very bad, those two teams are quite good.
Yeah, like, so basically, win one of them games and we're in the Euros. It doesn't matter which one, but let's win the first one and not have to worry about winning the last one is what
I'd
say.
Sure, I would love to win both of them, you know.
I hear.
6 from 6.
Yeah, I'd love that too.
Finish top of the group then, wouldn't we?
But like, it's yeah, win one of the games we're in, like, as Sean said, it's kind of like two cup finals and just go win one of them. And of course, that's much easier said than done. And we would like to also think that now to the fact that we have to win the game and a draw really doesn't do us any good, we could just go out and play football and take it to the Swiss and try and beat them. But I have a feeling that it is not going to go like that at all. I think
this football is sort of an alien concept for an Ireland senior team.
Yeah.
Sometimes we play in spite of instruction, which is always my favourite way to play football.
I think it's going to actually end up making us more reserved because now Mick McCarthy and Ireland are going to go out tomorrow night and just be like, well, if we're in it with 10 minutes to go, all we need to do is score one goal. So it's going to be try and nick a set piece, and then maybe with 5 minutes to go, if it's still 0-0, then we'll have a go at them.
What is football? I don't want to get philosophical about it, but like, just look at the Ireland team against Georgia. We don't seem to have any discernible way of playing.
Oh, you're allowed to talk about the Georgia game.
No, but I'm just talking about going into it as a matter of like how we're going to set up against Switzerland. We're not a completely defensive team that just hoofs it long. We're not a team that plays tiki-taka football and short passing everywhere. We just seem to like
exist.
Yeah, we just exist on the field. There's people there. Mick McCarthy, obviously, people will know from other podcasts. I saw about this earlier on as well, and he's like, there's just people are in positions, but it just doesn't seem to be a game plan, or it's just like, I don't know what it is.
I've had to contend with this all season as a Pats fan, whereby you have 11 players and there is some form of formation to them.
And there's a defensive structure, very hard to break down. Yeah. Like, lads, we are top of the group still. We've played 6 games. We have scored 6 goals. Right. Denmark have scored 16. I think Switzerland have 15 off the top of my head. Gibraltar are in our group, played them twice. We have scored 6 goals in 6 games. But the other thing is, we've only conceded 2.
Pats have played 33 matches this season. They've scored 27. Like,
yeah.
Them some Ireland numbers.
Big facts. Like I've had to try almost come to terms with that this season in terms of the team, the club I support. And now, Ireland were always like that. But it's just, I have no respite.
Yeah, you know? I think the whole thing is just completely derived from this weird situation we're in, where McCarthy's here as a placeholder and he doesn't give a toss about what happens beyond next June, and he's like, it doesn't matter about playing any sort of football, it's just I'm going to go out here, and if I draw the games I want to draw 0-0, and I win the games I want to win 1-0, that's all I need, because I don't care what happens.
That's got to do with all, but now I think it does. Jews.
But now you've got a situation whereby his whole objective, his MO, the task he was given was to qualify. We win one of these two matches, we qualify.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, a 0-0 draw is genuinely as good as a loss. It does no good to us whatsoever.
The only thing that a draw does do is that it would assure that Denmark would have qualified by the time they come to Dublin for the last game, so they'd have nothing to play for. But I don't think that really matters.
It doesn't matter. They celebrated against Switzerland as though they had qualified. Obviously, you know, Schmeichel was,
I would say, don't be qualified or had gotten away with the biggest daylight robbery in the history of football.
Jeez.
Well, in the history of since Ireland beat Germany.
That was a plan.
We're getting sucked into the negativity again. That's mostly my fault, I think. I'm sorry, lads. I tried to steer clear of it. But the Switzerland game, how are we going to beat them? What team do you want to see start, Gary?
Right, so I have my team. I did the team earlier on that I think should start.
He's massaging his temples here as if like he's got a vision.
Yeah, and Sean actually agrees with the team as
well. I did not read it. And I said, what would Gary do?
We independently came up with the same team. So the team that we have just come up with.
I was thinking what you would think.
Okay.
He knows me too. I have one player that I would put in rather
Well,
cross that bridge when we come to
it. The team I picked was Randolph in goal, Coleman, Duffy, Egan, and Stevens, that back four kind of picks itself. Stevens is definitely going to come back in and have suspension. So the midfield is where it gets interesting, right? Glenn Whelan is 35 years of age and struggled the other night, I'd say, although he was probably the best of the midfield three.
I thought he was all right.
He's no legs. He never had any legs, but he's no legs.
Yeah, and also there's a thing, even remember David Miler talking about in, where was he? Was it on Off the Ball? He was talking about Wes Houlihan, or of like, Miler knows, he was like, I know my job. My job is to get the ball and give it to the more creative player. And I feel like sometimes in Ireland, that especially because we were trying to actually just pass the ball around on Saturday, but there isn't that player there. It's like, who is the player you give it to sometimes? Sometimes Whelan can be like,
see, I look at it and, right, obviously Wes was one thing, and to be honest, I think he was placed on a pedestal just purely because he was a diminutive player that could sort of, you know, play in between the lines. I don't think there's anything to say that Jeff Hendrick can't pick a pass. He can't. He just doesn't.
Yeah. Connor Harrigan's
the same. You can pick a pass. You can play football.
So
you stop trying to depend on somebody else. It's like Harrigan depends on Hendrick. Hendrick depends on Harrigan. And what ends up happening is James Collins is left isolated with about 17 centre halves around him.
So and another thing is, as 35 years old, Gamine can't play two games in 3 days. And he was completely ran off the pitch when we played Switzerland in Dublin. He was like, they have a mobile midfield.
But we did the same thing that we did against Georgia, whereby they're like, so when we press them high, we're susceptible to a break. The difference is that Georgia have the likes of like a Karius Fili and an Eze, who are decent players. Like they play relatively decent levels of football, but like a Brelembolo and like Zakaria running through you.
Yeah.
They're going to go breeze past.
So basically, I'm picking Cullen there, right? I think, because I think he has the legs and I think he's actually better at getting the ball down and getting bringing other people into the game and passing. I'd play Horahan again because I know he was poor the other night, but as Sean said, he does have the ability to play the ball, pass the ball, and his set pieces are invaluable basically to this team because they seem to be the only way we can score most of the time. And then for the other one, after Jeff Hendrick's performance last night, and I've defended him a lot during this campaign, I think in times we have seen how good he can be in very small flashes, but I can't justify putting him into the team again after he was so poor in Georgia. I just think he was he didn't have any impact on either on the ball or off the ball. So I picked Alan Brown there just to try something different. There's an argument to be made for Jack Byrne, but I don't think he'd have the fitness to start that game.
The thing about Burton, and I see Rovers fans go mad over the fact that there is a derision towards him because he plays for Rovers. I think he's a very good footballer and he has a role to play. I don't think he should start.
No,
but it's one of those, as you were saying, if you know we're still in the game with 80 minutes to go, we need someone to open up a defence. You could do worse than throw Jack Byrne on.
Yeah, definitely.
I think play Hendrick.
Oh,
yeah.
I think play Hendrick as well.
You think, yeah?
I think you've been overly critical of him from Saturday. I think it's what Sean's talking about in terms of that it's because we don't seem to have a game plan or something, that it's just like none of the players.
Yeah.
Sean on Saturday.
And that's why.
And he was by no means disastrous or anything. It was just,
I thought he was our worst player at the weekend.
I thought Coleman was worse. I thought Callum Robinson didn't get into the game. McLean arguably were. I don't think he was the worst player we had, but I think there was a load of players that played on the level
of him. I don't think anyone had a good game particularly, because again it's that thing of like, what's good, like getting the ball and passing it around and not really going
anywhere.
And
that's the thing, there's an abdication of when you do that, you anticipate somebody else is going to do something. So like the times when Jeff Hendrick like has at least seemed to perform well for Ireland is when he can make a break from midfield, like he did against Switzerland at home. When he was making a break from midfield, he'd quickly do a man and then play it off, but he's playing it off to a striker or someone in an attacking position.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say that he can't do that again, because if we win the ball high up the pitch, We're going to need someone like him. I don't think Alan Brown can do it as well as Hendrick can.
I think that's the thing about Hendrick, though. A lot of it is kind of theoretical and hope we can do it. And that he can do it, I know. And, like, I have no problem with Jeff Hendrick. Like, I've defended him more than most people would have, especially among members of the general public. And this is the first time I would have ever considered taking him out of the team. But I just think he's drifting as the campaign goes on, where he's kind of started it well and he's kind of... his performance levels have been dipping with, like you said, apart from a couple of flashes, I think his performance levels have been dipping in the last few games.
But I think you've also got to look at it in tandem with how well he's playing at club level. I know he plays in a different position, but he was well out of the Burnley team, like, wasn't getting a look in, and now is putting in man of the match performances. Yeah. You know?
Probably our most, aside from maybe the Sheffield United lads, he's our most informed player at club level. And the other person I was going to mention, sorry, quickly finish your team there.
Sorry, so the front three, I'd play Robinson again because I think he's just too talented not to have in the team, even if things haven't been clicking. I'd play Collins again. I've seen a lot of people giving out about Collins, but I think with the very limited service he had, he actually did okay. He was like, it was a thankless task he had up there. So I'd play him again. He showed some nice touches, and I think we'll need a bit of physicality. And obviously, I'm going to play Aaron Connolly because I think that's not even a debate anymore. And
I think if you give support to James Collins, he has a thankless task up front by himself. But if you give him support, so that means Herrigan shouldn't be looking sideways at Hendrick and Hendrick shouldn't be looking sideways at Herrigan. They need to get up and support him. I think if you play a Connolly is a number nine. He can go in, he can support, and can go back out to the wing. He's not a winger. He said this. He's not a winger. He's a number nine. He's not a traditional number nine, but he plays through the middle. And Robinson, likewise, can play on the wing, but plays through the middle for his club. Like, these kind of players can get in around them. You just need them to... You need to tell them to do it.
Yeah, if they're given the freedom to drift around the pitch, that opens up space for Enda Stevens and Seamus Coleman, who both bomb forward for their clubs. So, you know.
Exactly.
The only player I was going to mention of that, but I don't want to get into it because it's going to be too long, so I'm going to completely change up systems and everything, is when you talk about informed players, Sean Maguire is banging in goals. He's probably not going to start from not even to see game time, but like, again, it's not a discussion we can really have because he's not going to start instead of James Collins doing that role as a sole striker up front. So it means it warrants some completely different formation. It's never going to happen.
So Scott Hogan on.
And James McLean, look, let's be fair, James McLean isn't going to be dropped either. So
yeah, but anyway, lads, this is all we have time for. You'll be back tomorrow night after the game.
Emergency podcast.
To celebrate.
What's happened. To celebrate. Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw.
You know, get into the swing of things. Going to be up all night, having a great time. But in the meantime, be sure to subscribe to Boss.ie Podcasts. So you have that dropping in your feed straight after the game when we're going to be getting ready, you know, wondering what we should pack for the Euros. And
a little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
We'll plan our route to Bilbao.
On that bombshell, goodbye.